Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, emotion worker, and camper. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
You just made my husband smile.
Good.
Hearing my name and camping together in any sentence just gives him joy. It's one of those dirty secrets of the romantic days of early dating. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but when we, the first year we dated, you know, and we were getting to know each other, he just talked about all the things he loved, which was backpacking and being outdoors, you know, being the nature man that he is. And I kept saying, you know, oh, yeah, I love nature. I love hiking and love being out in the wilderness. And he said, so the end of the year, that first year we dated, came together into the school year, and he's graduating, and he takes an annual trip, backpacking trip, with his buddies from high school. They've been doing it now for, you know, 100 years. I think they're 120 years old, but they've been doing it forever. And so he invited me to go on this backpacking trip to get to know his friends. And I said, sure, I can do that. Sounds great. So he got all the gear together, you know, for the backpack trip. It was 7 days out in Kings Canyon. And, you know, his friends were like, all right, I guess you can bring your girlfriend along. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of the dude's trip.
Right.
So they were a little, you know, reluctant to have me on the trip. And so we get there the first night. And Chris has also put my guitar on his backpack, because he thought I would sing every night.
You were supposed to serenade them.
I was going to serenade them. I think that was one of the selling points of taking me on the trip, I guess, to the other guys. And so the first time we got there, I said, I just need to tell you that I've never slept outside before.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm not really sure how this is going to go. And he said, you mean like slept camped or backpacked? I go, no, I've never slept outside, like not even in my backyard. And he goes, oh, my goodness. But I had a great time in the trip. I think, you know, he wasn't lugging the guitar around with him, but I thought I fared pretty well. And so that kind of set up, you know, you do those things while you're falling in love, right? Because you want to look like the best partner. And
yep.
Then once you get married and he says, hey, so, you know, that backpacking trip's coming up. And I said, yeah.
Have fun.
Have a good time. Send me an acorn. But it's funny because, you know, I hadn't slept outdoors growing up. It wasn't my family's thing. But I have come to, I actually love camping in different forms. Now, the older I get, right, the more comfortable I want it to be. But we have spent our married life camping and taking the girls camping and going on trips. And so it did eventually come around to that, but our start was a little auspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I would say camper can go in there, but, you know, just in small letters.
Yes.
So yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up also, because today we are going to be talking about summer vacations, because it's that time of year. It's time to start thinking about, you know, how we're going to spend our downtime away from, you know, the tribulations of work. And it's pretty interesting because I think on the West Coast, you know, it's the weather's such that it's vacation time all year round.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole idea of summer vacations is much more an East Coast or Midwest thing, where there is this very small amount of time, this window that you can actually get out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's much more, there's a much more heightened feeling of let's get on the road. But there is that traditional thing that summer's coming. Even if you don't have children and you're not on the school schedule, there's something about that this time of year where you start thinking, hey, you know, what are we going to do with our time away? So we're going to talk about the importance of these summer vacations and the importance of taking this time away. But I did want to follow up briefly on last week's conversation about our service fair and let you know that the service fair at Cal Poly was a huge success.
That's great.
Yeah, I was really excited to see so many students come out, and they're enthusiastic about the different programs and tons of signups for the, you know, AmeriCorps and Peace Corps and Green Corps. And then at the forum that night, we had people from the community that came out. We had a great showing. So the other thing that was wonderful is that one of the career centers on campus said, hey, this was such a success. Why don't we come together next year and make it a whole week thing?
Wow.
So, I know. So we'll be talking about it again next year at this time. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was, before we got into the show, you know, told me to start thinking about the vacations. And so I went up and asked my father about how old I was for one of my favorite vacations, and he didn't remember, but he's like, just speaking of vacations, I found this DVD of when we all went on a cruise together, which was one of my other favorite vacations. Not this one, the specific DVD, because I was actually working on ships, But he took me on a cruise 5 years before that. They got me wanting to work on cruise ships. Kind of changed my life.
Well, and that's wonderful because you already touched on one of the prime reasons why vacations are so important are the memories that we carry from that trip. You know, whether you were 4 or 7, your dad doesn't remember, right?
Right.
But the details of it really aren't as important as how it influenced how you felt about your relationship with your father for years and years and years, right? It sits in this deep place within us, and we draw on that. And then the cruise memories, I mean, it did change your life. You started working on the cruise ship, and then they came along. And now, you know, 10 years later, looking at the DVD, you know, it brings all those feelings up of another time, and it's very grounding. It's good for our mental health. And the thing that's a little disconcerting is, you know, a quarter of the American private sector workforce, that's 26 million people, doesn't get paid time off.
Right.
So right off the top, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that a quarter of Americans don't even get the option to get a paid vacation. So that's disconcerting right from the beginning. In the 1990s, a fifth of the population didn't get paid time off. So it's actually increased, which makes sense because so many people's jobs have been reduced, right, to part-time so they don't get benefits. The United States is the only advanced economy that doesn't guarantee paid vacation and only one of 13 countries in the world not to do so. But for the 90% of the people who actually do get paid vacations, only 77% of their vacation times is used. So for those who even get paid vacation, they're not taking the time that is due them through their company or offered to them through their company. And half of all workers researched or interviewed said that they have not taken any time off from work in the last 12 months. And the average work week over the same period of time of these of this research has increased from 40 hours a week to 47 hours a week. So, you know, we love the buzzwords of work-life balance. It's so important to have work-life balance. And but clearly, just from the statistics, the work-life balance idea is already blown up because if half the workers aren't taking time off every year and they've increased the time they're working, you feel those scales going right up and down. And so as your family therapist, I feel like there's a need for an intervention here if you're not thinking about your summer vacation or what you're going to be doing. Maybe I need to give a prescription or homework or something and talk to you about the reasons why it's so important that you carve out time to do these trips. Because I think a lot of people can blow off the family trips because they're a hassle. It's hard to organize them, right?
Yes.
You have a son now, so you're trying to think about you know, what things you want to introduce him to and places you want to take him. But it is a lot of work and they don't always go off as well as planned. I mean, watch the National Lampoon vacation movies and right. You can see that. So I think it's easy to write off or kind of ignore the importance of family vacations. And you know, vacations either as an individual or as a family are important for our mental health and well-being because we need to take a break. But we don't have to just focus on family vacations, but I'm going to talk, I think, mostly right now about the family vacation piece of it because, you know, we talk a lot about being a country that values families, that wants to take care of children, that want to do well by, you know, our mental health and well-being, and that we recognize that times family spends together are the best foundation for maintaining good mental health and well-being. And I find it, you know, interesting, a little too coincidental that over this period of time that we've taken less and less family vacations or less and less vacations, we've seen incremental increases in anxiety and depression and stress. I mean, so there's a correlation between those two things. So I think my job for the beginning of the show is to try to get into your head and give you all the reasons why these vacations are so important, even if they feel like a hassle or might be expensive or you're worried about taking time off. If I can get you into this mindset of all the reasons why it's important, then maybe you'll take those steps to setting up your summer adventure, your summer escapade. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We invite you to be part of this conversation at 805-781-3875. Today, we're talking about family vacations. And so I guess the question, you know, on the table is, what is your most memorable family vacation? Brian talked about Disneyland and taking a cruise. You know, what are those memories and why do they stand out for you? Why are those family vacations something that you remember today? And, you know, anything else about those family vacation memories you want to share? But also, if you're not taking a vacation, I'd like to know why. Why don't you allow yourself the time away? What is preventing you from taking the time to get out and see the world? 805-781-3875. You can also be part of our conversation on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And you can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org under the News Talk tab. We're right at the top there. And if you want to be able to get these shows downloaded to your device, then you can podcast us, subscribe through iTunes or through your app store on your phone, and then they just load up and you're ready to go. So here are the reasons why a vacation is really important, what time away actually gives us. For families, it's a way of building connections, because I think, you know, if you read the New York Times or any, you know, newspaper or magazine, one of the common themes is how fast time seems to be going, right? That how quickly everything goes from day to day to day, and there aren't enough hours in the day. And, you know, with technology, it speeds up how fast our days feel. And there just really is this sense of this constant speed in our lives. And so for families, it becomes more and more challenging to actually pull back and just connect with each other. And I think what becomes difficult is that the more disconnected we are, right, the more we don't, the more we're apart and the less time we spend talking, communicating, sharing pleasurable activities, we start to lose that inherent psychic connection that we have when we're married or when we're in any intimate relationship or as families. And it's easy to kind of drift apart and not even recognize how you've drifted apart, because it's so easy to fill all our time with work or numbing activities or entertainment that you don't recognize that you aren't feeling as close or connected. And if you doubt that, I wish you could read the papers that my students write every quarter about their family history, their family genogram, and how many of my students write about feeling disconnected from their families, that everybody was on their laptops or in their own room or doing their own thing when they were growing up or in high school, and how when they came to college, they really don't feel that connected to their family. So there is a great importance in actually kind of stealing time back, right? Grabbing it back and reconnecting as a family, having conversations, being able to, you know, put down the devices and get away from the day-to-day routines. Also, it's important to create memories. As, you know, Brian was talking about, these memories live on years later. And as soon as you get back to those memories, you have this deep sense of well-being, right? It calms us down. It makes us feel whole. It makes us feel centered. It reduces stress. It reduces anxiety. And even if they're memories that aren't, you know, necessarily happy memories of the trips, sometimes the best memories are when things didn't go really well, but to build those memories. The other thing we recognize is that the human psyche needs novelty, that we actually are biologically driven towards change, towards creativity, towards craving change and creativity, because we're constantly evolving, right? We're biologically driven to evolve and change and grow. And the way that we get inspired to evolve and change and grow is through that craving for novelty, getting bored. You know, boredom is the mother of all invention, right? When we mm-hmm. feel a little bored, it forces us to get out of our comfort zone or to try something different. And when we allow ourselves to do things that are novel, it actually actually stimulates brain functioning. And, you know, and there's a lot of talk about memory loss or keeping our brain stimulated or, you know, keeping our momentum forward so that we don't start to shut down. Going out and searching out things that are novel, things that are different, things that we don't regularly do, help to stimulate our creativity, our brain processes. It boosts our immune system. It helps us feel, again, more centered, more whole. And it's interesting because too much novelty, right, too much pleasure and too little novelty have the same impact on our nervous systems, because you can get too much novelty, which can lead to, you know, the pleasure pain continuum, but you can have too little and then you find yourself getting rutted. And it's that same thing I talked about with family relationships, that when we don't connect with our families over a period of time, it's not that we start worrying about the connections. We actually fill that space and we don't recognize we've lost those ties. Well, it's the same with novelty. You know, although we crave novelty, boredom and ennui and routine can feel kind of strangely comforting. You know, you can just get settled into this routine of binge watching Netflix or, you know, doing the same walk every day or, mm-hmm. you know, doing the same activities. It feels comforting, but you don't recognize that you're actually atrophying throughout that time, that you're just kind of in that rut until you force yourself, right, to get out and do something different. And then you recognize, oh my goodness, I was really stuck in this rut. So novelty, building connections, creating memories, and then this idea of awe. And there's been a lot of research done recently. There was a big study done at UC Berkeley about the power of awe, right? That feeling of wonder, that feeling smaller than the universe, right? Stepping outside of ourself. The UC Berkeley study linked the positive emotions of awe, the ones you feel when you're out in nature, backpacking for the first time, the ones you feel when you're viewing, you know, art like the Sistine Chapel or, you know, things that move you or, you know, deep spiritual experiences, those feelings of awe lead to better health. And they actually were able to find a decrease in inflammation in the system, in the bodies, when people were feeling this sense of awe. And so those awestruck moments, right, are like zooming our camera lens, our daily camera lens, way out and getting a different view that make our own lives and worries feel and seem much smaller. Another research study was done by Michio Taku. I'm not sure if it's Taku. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. But he talks about the wow feeling and how it makes us feel less rushed, less selfish, calmer. Moments of awe actually pause our stream of negative or worrisome thoughts, which can disrupt those patterns of anxiety and depression. So just, you know, just for our mental health and well-being, taking ourselves out of our day-to-day and feeling awe and, you know, increased novelty, getting out of our sense of boredom, those are all inherently important in building our mental health and well-being. So what do you think about this? I mean, am I doing the sales job? Am I doing my part as a psychotherapist? I'd love to hear from you. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation. What's your most memorable family vacations? Or do you allow yourself to take time to go on a family vacation? And if we can't afford a vacation, can we still find a way to get out and get a sense of awe in the world? 805-781-3875. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. Hi, Charlie, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, great. Yeah, I can remember a lot of trips, vacations with my parents. We would always visit family, some family, do something cultural and something outside in the parks. And I've done that with my own kids and even with the grandkids. Just getting out, you say a change is as good as a rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about vacation is, you know what's worse than when you're away from your thing, you have a bunch of stuff piling up that needs to be done. To me, the one thing that's worse than that, catching up with the stuff you missed, is not going on the vacation in the first place.
And I think you bring up a good point, Charlie, because I think a lot of, I was reading reasons why people say they don't take vacation. And one of the number one reasons was falling too far behind at work felt like it wasn't worth it.
Oh, no, definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. And it's really helped build relationships. Well, the relationship built with your kids, your kids even the small kids, wind up enjoying the same things you develop, the idea that your family enjoys the same things you do as an adult, and then they become much better company when they're grown up.
Yeah. Well, and it is. And thank you for calling in, Charlie. That is a great point. You know, that one of the reasons we want to have these family adventures, these family experiences, building these traditions of how we spend time together is because when you're raising your children, it's not just about those 16, 17, you know, years that you have together with them in your home. If you've done the work of building strong, healthy relationships and enjoyed positive time together and built traditions together, that you have years and years to enjoy with your adult children, spending time doing these outings or doing these vacations. You know, families who build in a traditional trip together of some kind actually have healthier, stronger, positive communication, better relationships with their children, but they also have better senses of their own self-worth and self-esteem. And it's interesting because grandparent vacations with their children, with grandchildren, is huge. I mean, there's tour groups that are designed just for doing traveling with grandparents. And I'd be curious to know if anyone's done that, because it sounds like a wonderful way to build connections between the generations. Hi, Gus, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Two things. First, I agree with you about when trips don't go as planned, they become more memorable. I took my wife and two daughters to Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, and Zion National Park. We went on a snowshoeing trip in January, a moonlight snowshoeing trip, and no one in the family will ever forget it because it was a little colder than they thought it would be.
So it didn't go as planned?
No, it was too cold, and it was just we just all laugh about it. It was great. We didn't have a great time, but we have a great time thinking about it now.
And you had yes.
Our two daughters, one of them has already been camping twice this spring, and the other was camping once this past weekend. So despite their mother's initial disinclination to go camping when I first met her, I think I've overcome that with my children, and they love it.
So in your attempt to call in and disguise your identity, are you now trying to, you're outing my camping experience to everyone?
Well, you're better at it now and you like it, right?
I do. Thank you, honey. Thanks for calling in. That is my husband. You should warn me, Brian.
I thought he said Gus. Yeah. Maybe he did say Chris and I misheard him.
Well, that's good. I like Gus. Maybe he's going to have to live with it now for calling and saying that. But it is true. I think he is enjoying the fact that our children have carried on the family tradition in deep and meaningful ways. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation. We're talking about the importance of family vacations and why we need to take them, not just because we need to see Disneyland, but what they do for our mental health and well-being, what they do for our connections. Because here's my argument. You know, if our lip service is to the idea that our family is the most important thing in our lives, right, that our children and the time we spend together with those we care about most are the most important things, then how could you not take the time to connect with each other on these trips? Because everyone living in the same house does not guarantee connections. Just because we're under the same roof doesn't mean we're close. And really, you actually build stronger connections when you're away from home because you have to rely on each other, right? You're getting a perspective of what goes on in your family through a different lens. You get to experience things together that will become your family memories. And so I think, you know, that this tradition of family vacations that's been actually lost over the last 20, 30 years because of the amount of time we do, you know, have to spend working. And also, because you read things about TSA lines that are 2.5 hours long, it dissuades you from wanting to do it, or overcrowded national parks. But then how do we get really creative and take vacations that aren't expensive? Because, you know, the reason that camping became our default family vacation is because we always lived on a very, very tight budget. And so it became the tradition, but it was less about, maybe was about what we were doing, but it was really about being together day to day. So I'd love to know your thoughts on this. 805-781-3875. Hi, Natalie, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm an old lady, and I've taken a lot of trips with my family. And my dad didn't make much money, but he always managed to get us back east to see our family every 2 years. And the best things were when we'd sleep in the car in the desert, and we'd have star showers, and to see Mom and Dad so relaxed away from home. It was something I'll always remember. And I also wanted to tell you, I worked in a huge guest house, a B&B place on the East Coast. It had 60 rooms, and when it had been in existence for 60 years. So I got to see grandparents, kids, and grandkids. And the grandparents had been grandkids originally when they were at the inn. And it was so nice. Even if they only met for a week or two, at least they had one place to all get together and have a little good time together.
And now that I would think also as we age and get older and maybe we can't take the great adventures, having those memories sustains us.
It sure does. It sure does. And it's nice to encourage. I encourage young people all the time. I was working with a young lady, and she said, I want to go to Hawaii. And I said, well, go. And she said, I can't. I said, then plan. 18 months. Make a plan so you can afford to go, and go. And she just looked at me, and I said, where's your calendar? Let's mark it down. So.
And that's, another great point, Natalie, is that in the rapidness of our lives, I don't know how many people actually plan or save for those vacations anymore because we're so about instant gratification. But I do remember, the rainy day fund and the vacation fund and putting money in that jar, right? So until you could afford it, it makes the vacation even more special or fun because you've spent time planning and saving and thinking about it.
Well, just like you said, your family had limited income. My family did, too. But my dad made it special that every 2 years we took a vacation. And then, but during the other times, Sundays would be Sunday drives. Okay, grab your sweater, we're going. And we just go. So we made sure we took the extra time off, no matter what.
Absolutely. Natalie, thank you for taking the time to call. And it doesn't have to be a two-week adventure through Europe. It doesn't have to be a big grand trip every time. Yes, we can make a conscious intention to vacation in small increments. A long day away from home, if you plan it well, can feel like a huge vacation, right? Taking a drive somewhere or doing an adventure, turning off your social media. It's amazing how quickly the time goes when you're working, but on weekends when you have something you're looking forward to and doing, it can feel like a whole day. Dominic, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. I just wanted to say something about the whole concept of family vacations, because I've been doing them with family all my life with my children, and now I'm doing them with my grandchildren. My granddaughter is 21 years old, and we still take one or two trips together a year. We had a house in Italy for many years, and the whole family came over there every year. We also went down to Mexico together. We took cruises to Alaska together. I have 7-year-old grandsons right now, twin grandsons, and we're going to Hawaii with them and my daughter and her family next month. And I always remember something, and I think Jacqueline Onassis made this quote, that your kids won't remember what you bought them. They'll remember what you did with them. And I never forgot that, because I thought, we still sit around with my 21-year-old granddaughter and talk about experiences in Italy and other places, going to New York together, and more than about something I bought her 10 years ago that is probably in the trash.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dominic. And it's true. Another quote from Jacqueline Onassis was, if we bungle raising our children, nothing else we do will much matter. Wise lady. Thank you for taking the time to call. Hi, Karen, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm kind of probably resonating what everybody else has already said, but I came from a family that honored the family vacation. And the memories that we have, I now share with my daughter, who's 10. And so she tells the stories to her friends about bears in Yosemite that, ran after us and crazy things. And she and I just started a vacation fund. And so we save our pennies and our nickels, and we're really trying to make it happen. We go every year to visit our husband's family in Alabama. And that's at one house with five families piled in. And we don't go anywhere. We just hang out at the beach. But we love it, and everybody seems to look forward to it. And so I think that family vacation is alive and healthy.
I love to hear that it is because, you know, I think we hear a lot of times about families can't all get along together. You don't want to put everyone together in the same house. But, you know, what research shows is that we actually have to be together for long enough periods of time so that we can get over, you know, the little squabbles or the reasons that we keep our distance, that they're that original, like, you know, that one day on Thanksgiving or that one day at Christmas isn't enough to establish new memories together or establish different relationships. Then when you're crammed in a house together, everyone figures out a way to get along.
Exactly.
For better or for worse.
Exactly.
and the beautiful thing about the multi-generations, and we've talked about this before, is that Murray Bowen, who is a founding father of psychotherapy, said, you know, it's really important that we have connections with our extended family, cousins, second cousins, aunts, uncles, because it's too much psychic energy to have to, you know, have your small family meet all of your psychic needs. And so these trips where you go out and, you know, are hanging together, maybe the parents are bickering with each other, but the cousins are forming relationships that they're going to have for the rest of their life.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're hoping to build with our daughter, because that's what we were given.
Absolutely.
From our parents.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful summer, Karen. Thanks for calling in. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We're talking about the importance of family vacations or summer vacations for our mental health and well-being, for building and maintaining our most intimate relationships. Again, you know, I know I say this, it seems like every week after week, but it's the most important thing. Relationships do not support themselves. They have to be tended. And I understand the importance of our work and having our livelihood and being able to pay our bills. But if you don't have those intimate relationships that are supporting you, the work isn't going to have much value. You know, it can feel good. We can feel stimulated by work. But really, we're working to support our lives, to support those things that matter to us, whether it's our friends or our families or our intimate others. And so taking the time away to nurture those relationships by spending time. And, you know, we talk about quality time. Well, what does that really look like? You know, quality time, hanging out, watching movies together is good, you know, as a kind of sustainer, a maintenance plan. But again, we have to have novelty. We have to bring in new experiences. We have to shake it up. Because when we get into a rut, we start to drift from each other. And it's not until we realize that we've drifted very far apart that we realize something's wrong. And, you know, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And when we don't nurture love, we shift to indifference. And so that's why, you know, taking this time for new experiences, for building memories is so crucial. 805-781-3875. You are listening to Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Casey, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to second your thoughts on the whole camping experience. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Lake Tahoe, and so we had ample opportunity to camp around a short distance away from our house, but also at a very cheap cost as well. And I just had so much fun on those trips. But I will never forget camping in places like the Snowy Range in Wyoming, and even doing carts and having car trips be a part of that experience of my family bonding close together too. Cause we didn't watch TV in the car. We read books together. We would go one by one reading a chapter each. And it was a very interactive way to, to be in a huge hours long car drive, but also a really good way for all of us to connect with each other too.
And Casey, thank you for reminding me, because I wanted to bring that up, that if the theme is connecting and building memories and, you know, uniting a family, I may be old fashioned, but I really believe that one of the worst things that ever happened were these videos in cars, or the ability
completely
to
agree,
because
yeah,
then you are reenacting your family dynamic at home on your journey together. And if everyone is able to disconnect and tune out and put on headphones, then you're missing the whole point, right? Of why we're getting away is to be together, not to be together alone like we are at home.
Well, and it was great to have the responsibility of each of us reading different chapters aloud and then kind of taking a journey through the books that we read, and almost it felt like an achievement for all of us to finish this book together, especially maybe within the course of a car ride, whether it was to Wyoming or to Denver, and having these long, long trips that we could do that together and finish this series together.
That's a great idea, because we've done books on tape and then, you know, be able to talk about it and look forward to getting back in. But the reading a book, if everyone can do it without getting nauseous, is a great idea.
Yeah, it took some discipline, but like that's why each of us had to have a chapter too. But you know, it was good for me and my brother and sister to learn how to read and to read out loud. And I definitely attribute some of my public speaking experience to being able to read at a very early age and read out loud. So
and maybe doing some character voices.
And that was part of those car trips.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Casey, thank you for calling, and I appreciate that. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you know, we start off the show talking about that half of American workers have not taken any time off in the last 12 months. And we're not just talking about their 2-week vacation, any time off, not missed a day of work. And, you know, our bodies need time to reset. We need to push that button to recalibrate, right, to get our stress levels down. Because what's interesting is that chronic stress is one of those silent killers. And the problem is you don't see any signs of it, because we can start to adapt to living in this state of chronic stress. And we don't realize that we're feeling it until we actually remove ourselves from the situation and feel the decompression. But chronic stress works on our nervous system, on our emotional system, on our organs, and it just is a sustained pressure that all of a sudden, you know, then you have a heart attack or a stroke or some, you know, crisis, a health crisis, a mental health crisis, and then you realize I've been under too much stress and stress and pressure. And so, you know, taking that time away, whatever it is, 2 days, 3 days, a week, is so incredibly important. And again, I just keep going back to the memories part, you know, how those stories sustain your family through tough times. You know, there will be times in your life, your marriage is going to be rough, or you're going to be struggling with your kids, or maybe they're going through a rough patch. But to have these stories, this family lore to go back to and talk about. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad, and I can't remember why it happened. For some reason, my dad had an RV that someone else's, and he traded out. And we'd never been in an RV before. That was as close to camping as I'd done before I met my husband. Mm-hmm. And so my sister wasn't around yet. So it was my brother and myself and my mom and dad. And we took off on this family adventure in this RV. And it was the National Lampoon Family Vacation. I mean, just the whole adventure. Because my dad didn't know RVing. So, you know, finding RV parks. And we slept in, you know, off the side of the road at different places, and we were going through Yellowstone National Park, and I was in the front seat with my dad, and I go, "Dad, there's a bear next to the RV," and everyone in the family said, "No, there's nothing there. You missed it." But I had snapped a picture, so when we got back, and we got the pictures back, there was the bear right next to the RV, and just the whole thing, you know, it carries us to this day. And then, you know, another trip, again, with my dad, it's funny, with my girls and my husband, we went up to New Hampshire. We did a trip up to with my father for a week. And it was just so fun in the van, you know, telling stories and singing songs. And of course, with my dad's old van, and only has a cassette player, and mm-hmm. He has, I think, one or two cassettes. One is the Beach Boys, and the other was Willie Nelson. And so we know the words to every single one that we sing them over and over. And then my fondest memory of that trip is my daughter Kelly, who is probably six, spent hours in the back of the van folding the newspapers into hats. Uh-huh. I can't know what these kind of hats are, but they look kind of like Revolutionary War hats.
Yeah.
And so we drove through Boston in my dad's big van wearing these hats. Just the silly things that you'll remember the rest of your life, and they build connections for my children. So I'm curious to know, what are your family vacation plans for the summer? Or do you have a personal vacation plan? Or if you're not taking time away, if you're one of the half of all workers who haven't taken any time off in the last 12 months, why not? What's preventing you from taking that time away? 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation. You can also listen to previous shows at kcbx.org, or you can podcast our shows through your app on your phone, through iTunes. And if you're a little shy and don't want to go on the air, Brian's always happy to take your question or your comment and share it with us, because I know speaking publicly is not everyone's favorite activity. And you can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. So one of the reasons I was inspired to do this show is that I have had that grand craving for adventure for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know that because you've known me for a long time, and I have talked about wanting to do something on my own a little bit, try to like stretch my comfort zone. And so finally this summer, the plan is to set on this adventure. We'll see how we do. But I'm going to take the show on the road. And so I'm going to spend 4 or 5 weeks traveling and then doing my show, interviewing people at different spots around the country, getting to know interesting people and their perspective on where they live. Kind of like my own Charles Kuralt on the road, from the road experience. Part of my journey is going to take me through Kansas City and Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm kind of going that section of the country. So I'd love to know if anyone has any suggestions of places I definitely need to see. I think I want to try to get into Minnesota and then come through Pennsylvania. But I'm going to start my journey back east in New Jersey, because my family's ancient tradition starts on the East Coast, and that's where my parents were both from. So we would spend our summers partially on the Jersey Shore. And then over the years, you know, I have taken my children, and it's become very ingrained in our family traditions and seeing cousins that we'd only see once a year, and then getting to know all of the East Coast. And so because I've taken my children there so much, they both have this strong affinity for the East Coast. My daughter Kirsten actually married a young man from Rochester, New York, just randomly how she met him out in California, but she kept that connection. And my daughter Kelly is working in upstate New York this summer at a camp. So that's one of the reasons I'm going to be kind of starting my journey and hanging on the East Coast and then doing drive trips out there.
My brother just randomly moved to Rochester, New York.
Really?
Yeah.
There's something about it. I think Rochester is secretly on fire and nobody's really talking about it, because I hear a lot of references to Rochester. I mean, there's a great university there. And
yep.
805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation. Love to know what your family vacation is. What are you doing this summer? What are some of your great memories? And if you're not taking time away, why not? How will we find awe in our life if we cannot get ourselves out of the daily routine, kind of the rut of our day-to-day, and bring something new into our relationships? Because it's funny, you know, even if we're not taking a grand vacation or going someplace exotic, simple getaways are really important for building intimacy in our marriages. And it's a struggle, because when we're really busy, especially when we're having a hard time, you know, keeping up with our kids and keeping up with our work schedules, it's hard to find the time to nurture our marriages. But one of the main reasons that couples get divorced is boredom. It's not infidelity. It's not financial reasons. It's not lack of communication. Those are all symptoms of the greater problem, which is boredom that sets in when we don't continue creating new, novel ways of being together. And doesn't, you know, require doing anything exotic. It just means getting out of the routines of our day to day. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, Elizabeth. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your topic today.
Okay.
And as I have in the past, I usually listen to you.
Thank you.
But your topic about vacations got me to thinking that what I had been doing, unfortunately, it costs money to do certain things, and I'm retired right now, living on my own. I don't have a family. But what I do part-time for work is I have been driving in dealer cars, doing dealer trades up and down the California coast, and some of these trips are overnight, so I'll wind up in different places, like Sacramento was one of the recent ones, or up in the Monterey area, or down in the Southwest. So I just wanted to mention that, as far as, you know, if somebody needed a little one-day vacation or overnight, they pay for your overnight stay. You could
I love that idea.
Cars for some of these dealerships, they always need drivers, you know, and they pay all your expenses.
I love that idea, Mark, because I was trying to think of a way to, you know, fund my travel across the country, and I wonder if I could drive somebody's car across the country. I mean, what a fun way, even just to see California, because we're 1,000 vacations in one state, aren't we?
That was my exact reason for doing it. I talked to a friend of mine. I happened to do it with a friend. We're longtime photography buddies. We started out with the film festival in Santa Barbara in 2000, and we've been attending most of those, so that was another kind of vacation in town. But my main reason for calling was that you've pretty much convinced me I need to take this trip, and circumstances have come to fruition right now, where my lady friend, my girlfriend who works in Lake George, New York, needs somebody to drive her car back from New York in October when she closes her business and then goes to Europe. So she wants somebody to drive her car back, and I'm going to wind up driving her car back, and she's going to cover food and lodging for me.
That's fantastic, Mark. When I feel happy that my psychotherapist homework paid off with somebody.
It certainly did.
And I'm so glad you're going to get that adventure. And I actually have been to Lake George. It's a gorgeous place.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you're going to have
a... You might know that East Coast a little bit. That sounds great.
Oh, you're going to have a wonderful time.
This will be my first time.
You're going to have a wonderful time. And I hope you'll call me when you get back and let me know how the adventure went.
Great. Thanks very much.
And Mark,
have a great day.
Thank you, Mark, before you go. If someone were interested in doing what you're doing, who do they contact?
You can contact the dealerships. I'll drop a name here if you like, but in Santa Barbara, the Ford Motor Company happens to always need people. They're going all the way down to National City, San Diego, Sacramento, Monterey. And then you do short trips, San Luis Obispo and back. You know, that's a... one of their regular dealers. What they need is just another car, you know, the type car that they've sold, mm-hmm. a slightly different model or color or something like that.
And how do you get back once you've driven the car?
You trade it for another one, or you have a chase car. Like my buddy will take a car with us if we're delivering a car. Say we're dropping a car off in San Diego. Well, he drives another car, which they pay for. We go down to San Diego, and incidentally, he knows the area, so we can take our time coming back. We take a mini vacation down there, as we did whenever we go there.
I love this. Mark, thank you for taking the time to call.
Mm-hmm. It's a very inexpensive way to see the state.
Absolutely. Thank you for the advice, and I look forward to hearing about your trip this summer. Thanks for calling in. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Brian, you know how I am about driving in cars.
Yeah.
I have found...
Your eyes are huge.
I am so excited.
Big epiphany in your life right now.
I know. This is wonderful. That's why we do this, right? We want to share our information. We want to build this community, help each other be better in our lives. That's wonderful. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to discuss traveling as a lifestyle. I grew up, my earliest memory was sitting in back of a 1955 Chevy Bel Air station wagon looking out the back window with my parents driving in the Southwest when I was 2 years old. My father was in the military, so he would have a 30-day furlough, and we would travel all over the United States by car everywhere we went and every summer. And we would visit national parks. We would visit... just locations that my dad would decide that he wanted to see. And I grew up that way. And it's become part of my own, the way I live now.
And so it's so funny that you remember looking out the back window, because it made me picture our old station wagon. We sat in the way back because my dad couldn't reach us to whack us if we were fighting in the way back of the car. But as you're older now, did you do the same trips with your family? You know, did you repeat those same driving trips?
Not only did we repeat them, we still repeat them. My son is an adult now, but when he was a child, when I say a child, you know, starting around 6 or 7, we ended up taking a weeks-long vacation cross-country. We would have a camper, and we would take him and my new wife's favorite nephew of the year, and she had about four or five to pick from, and we would go on these long cross-country trips to the Great Lakes or places, and we would try to stop at all these different things for them to see, things like Old Pony Express stations, or there's this place up in I think it's Sioux Falls or Sioux City, South Dakota, called the Corn Palace, and you know, kind of dumb places, and the kids loved it, and we would read books about it together, and they would get out and run around like little wild kids, and then they'd get back in, and we would travel again, and we'd all sleep in the camper, and the nephews would fight each other to be the one that got picked that summer to make these trips that we would take.
Little internal family feuds. Well,
exactly. Now my son is doing the same thing. He's taking annual trips. I'm self-employed, so I'm one of those people that work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. But what we do is about every 3 or 4 months, we literally shut down the phones and get in our truck camper and take off. And we're gone for a couple of weeks. And people say, well, how can you afford that? And I say, well, I afford it because I'm working, 140 hours a week. So I have plenty of time to take off and still put in what most people would consider a 40-hour week.
Right. And I think that that's one of the things that we've been talking about is how do we find the creative ways to make vacations happen? Because it's easy to have all of our time and all of our freedom sucked out of us. I think, companies will gladly have us work more and more. Very rarely are they going to force you to vacation. But you make a good point on that. If we don't steal the time back or carve the time out, it's not going to come to us. And I appreciate you taking the time to call. And, it's interesting, Brian, that it's all car trips. It's all camping and car trips are these great memories.
Well, same with me, yeah.
I know, isn't that funny? I expected to hear, maybe some. I think one of the callers was talking about trips to Italy and they had a home there.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these family memories are about these car trips. And, there were three kids in our family. And so the joke was not wanting to have to sit in the hump in the middle. Like
right.
The youngest had to. But it's interesting to me that these memories of taking time out or these vacations are driving or getting on the road. Maybe we should have done the whole topic about that sense of wonder and awe of taking a car journey or a car trip.
And everyone's talking about looking out the window, not looking at the TV screen in front of them, too.
Yeah, and I'm interested to know how people feel about that, because I really do think that our younger families or, people who have all of these distraction devices in the car who say, well, we can't travel if my kids don't have some distraction, they'll whine. I was like, no, kids will adjust to anything if that's what the only option is. And I think that's a great parenting skill to take on, is that if we're not always trying to distract or entertain our children, they will magically figure out how to entertain and distract themselves. That's why the license plate game was creative.
Yeah.
Or remember the slug bug game? Did
you?
Okay. I mean, there's some great rites of passage in the backseat of the car. And how do we expect our children to develop relationships with each other if they haven't had to suffer through a car trip?
Right.
Because that becomes part of the memory too. 805-781-3875. Hi, Ingrid, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, it's Sigrid.
Oh, Sigrid, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's a tough name.
I will blame that on Brian.
I tried to spell it out for him, but anyway. My family, we only typically go on vacation to visit the grandparents because we live here in Arroyo Grande, but my dad and stepmom live in outside Seattle. My mom and stepdad live in Alabama. So we kind of, those are our family vacations, are visiting them and hooking up with the cousins when we go up to Washington State. And it's a great time for my children to connect with cousins. And I'm the only child, so connecting with my cousins as a kid was really important.
And so one of the things that I talked about was that people say they don't do these family vacations because it's too stressful having to hang out. The adults don't get along and, it's hard to get everyone to get in the car for those hours. How do you feel any of those things? How do you overcome them with your own family?
Well, my dad is a therapist. So So he makes sure that he can have a conversation with his sister and say, I need time with my kids and my grandkids that are separate from your kids and your grandkids when we're all together. So we find ways to separate and come back together so that everybody's happy.
I think that's a great point. And Sigrid, thank you for taking the time to call. And so this is a great way to wrap it up, because here are some tips for doing these great family vacations. And Sigrid nailed it, or her father, who's a therapist, is that it's good to kind of set the tone or the contract before you have these get-togethers. How much time will we have together? Who will pay for food? Who will do which meals? You know, to set your trips up for success and not just hope that things work out. You have to talk about, you know, what the expectations are and be flexible when things don't go the way you expected. You know, that's one of the great family builders of relationships, is how do we overcome struggles together? How do we build resilience? How do we, you know, come up with alternative plans when our original plan didn't work? It's so important for kids to learn to work together and work out their differences and to have arguments and then come together. Planning the snack food is a great way to get the kids involved. Have them choose some of the stops along the way on the trip. Look at books and see things like the Corn Palace or the giant ball of yarn. There's a lot of ways that you can creatively make this fun. And half of the fun of the trip is the planning and thinking about it 6 months before, and then the talking about it for the rest of your life. So this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. I encourage you to think about that family vacation or that getaway for yourself, to take time away, to experience awe. It's important for your mental health and well-being. Bring novelty in your life so that you can feel the excitement of creativity and change and get out of that rut or that sense of boredom you might be feeling. All of these breaks in your life make you a better human being, a more productive individual, and someone generally more fun to hang out with. I appreciate you being part of this conversation. You can find us on our Facebook page. You can podcast our shows, listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. I'm going to send you off today with a little Janet Jackson. It's all about the adventure and the escapade. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBX.